Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about a couple of different updates on the status of Giga Berlin. Also got some more comments on Tesla out of the White House, this time from Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. We've got another over-the-air recall, an analyst update, and a few other things as well. Looking at the stock, another very low volume day today, and again, another underperformance by Tesla. Tesla finishing up 1.1% to $932 even today, after $922 even yesterday, but the NASDAQ was up 2.1%, so a pretty significant underperformance from Tesla for the day. And again, only about 17 million shares traded so far, a little bit after market close. So overall, kind of a disappointing week. I think tomorrow we'll be looking out for inflation data. There is a CPI data report tomorrow, so Consumer Price Index and initial jobless claims. Both of those reports come out an hour before market open. All right, getting into the news then, we've got a couple of updates on Giga Berlin. First is a report from RBB. Quote, according to RBB research, the start of production at the electric car manufacturer Tesla in Grünheide has been further delayed at least until mid-March, end quote. Okay, well, unfortunately, that is pretty vague. We can't do a whole lot with them just citing their own research, but this did kind of kick off a lot of discussion on where things are at for Giga Berlin today, and we did get a couple of other updates. So first here from Tobias Lind, who's been very helpful in tracking the progress for Giga Berlin. He says, quote, update on the permit for Giga Berlin. The permit will not come in the next few days, but the authorities are now working on the actual permit document, which will have several hundred pages. He also says that they are now writing the permit. That's not what they've done the last 2 years. The last 2 years have been working through more than 10,000 pages of application documents. So although to most of us, the steps are quite fuzzy here, it does sound like they are now on to at least a next step. Based on all the information that Tobias has, he said that his best guess, and he doesn't want to give an exact date, but his best guess would be sometime in March for the start of regular production. Back to that RBB report on their timeline expectations, I did get some help from a listener here who was able to find a video that came out today in which the head of the Ministry of Agriculture, Environment, and Climate Protection there in Brandenburg was asked about that RBB report and whether or not it could be confirmed that mid-March would be the earliest start date. He said, quote, I do not like to participate in speculations of the press. I neither deny nor confirm. The experience shows that one must still reckon with the fact that short-term delays occur. Therefore, today, no confirmation of when the approval will come. I can formulate abstractly what happens after an approval. After an approval, it goes into the commissioning phase. Before doing this, Tesla has to fulfill a whole series of requirements, a whole series of proofs before the commissioning and the actual production process can start. It's not like after day one of the operational approval, the production process will start. That will take several weeks, end quote. Okay, so I can already hear the groaning at this report, and for good reason. I think if we put all this information together that they're now starting to work on that multi-hundred page document for actual final approval, and then after that point, apparently it's going to take several weeks. Certainly it looks like March would be the earliest. And when has any of this stuff happened at the earliest checkpoint? I don't know if anything has. So I'm definitely not putting my expectation at this point on Q1. I think especially for deliveries, if Tesla even starts real production in March, that point probably makes sense to wait to deliver in Q2 because then you can spread the cost of goods sold over more vehicles. So yes, this whole process is disappointing, but we got to remember the context here too, right? We just heard Elon Musk say on the Q4 call that Shanghai and Fremont aren't operating at capacity and haven't been operating at capacity for many months because of supply constraints. If we had Berlin open and operating, how is that going to add any additional vehicles if Tesla can't actually operate at full capacity on the factories that they already have? Well, it's a pretty simple answer. It wouldn't. That being said, I do still want them to be able to start full production, produce as many vehicles as they can in Berlin, even if that doesn't increase the total number of vehicles that Tesla sells, and even if that actually hurts margin in the near term. The reason I say that is because the sooner that Tesla is able to get started in Berlin, the sooner we start moving up that S-curve production ramp. Yeah, there are things Tesla can do right now with just trial production that will help with that process, but inevitably there are going to be things during a production ramp up that happen that need to be resolved that Tesla won't be able to anticipate. Now, I don't expect there to be a ton of those things with Berlin because with 2170s, without the structural battery, this is more of a copy paste of Fremont and Shanghai versus what's going on in Texas. So the ramp should be a lot smoother. I'd love for them to be able to get that process started, but at the same time, hopefully some of that context makes it a little bit less painful as we wait through this. In the meantime, we've got another video that's been shared out of Tesla's paint shop operations. So part of this we have already talked about and seen. Nothing terribly new in the other parts, but hey, it is something. All right, next up today, we have again the government continuing to talk about Tesla. So I guess the moratorium on mentioning such a word has been lifted. We'll see if that continues. But today on CNBC, Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg did mention Tesla a few times, actually, when talking about EV adoption for the United States. Still certainly colored a little bit favorably towards other automakers like GM and Ford, but let's take a listen.
You know, we just played that clip from President Biden actually giving a shout out to Tesla, but that has been something that's been missing for quite a while. Tesla hasn't been invited to these White House meetings, and Elon Musk isn't really somebody who's been heralded. And the reporting has said that, you know, this is happening because the administration doesn't like Tesla because they're seen as anti-union. Made in America, does that mean union only, or made in America, is it good as long as it's providing good jobs for people here in this country?
Look, as you know, the president strongly believes in every worker having the free choice to join a union. We believe in good paying jobs, and we believe that unions built the middle class. We also admire the range of American companies that have innovated, including Tesla, which did so much to make EVs possible in America. Now it's mainstream. Earlier on, at a time, by the way, of course, when U.S. policy with tax credits was supporting companies like Tesla, you know, that wasn't viewed as such a sure bet. Now we see some of the most iconic, some would have said old school names in auto manufacturing out of Detroit, right there alongside companies out of Silicon Valley, all of them in very different ways, helping move America toward this goal. We need to make sure that we have all of the different parts of American industry and of the American workforce attuned to this goal, because this is the future. Again, there's no question whether autos are headed electric. The question is, will we get there in time? Will it be made in America? And will it be done in a way that all Americans can benefit, that Americans can afford these vehicles and capture those savings, those gas and diesel savings that you have when you're filling up with electrons instead of gas and diesel?
All right, so obviously you still have to parse out the politics of there. It's pretty heavily laced, but overall it just sounds so much more reasonable without having to obviously skirt around Tesla, which Buttigieg has done in the past on these interviews. So yeah, it's still political, but to me, this does seem like an improvement, and hopefully the trend will continue. I mean, Buttigieg there even going as far as saying that there's admiration for what Tesla has done. Still couched a bit in a past tense language, but still an improvement. And hey, shout out to Becky Quick there for some pretty good questions in that portion, as well as in the rest of that interview. All right, next up, we've got another recall notice from Tesla, and this is going to be another one that is solved with an over-the-air software update, but it is kind of interesting because this does involve the heat pump issues that we had talked about previously. So the headline number from the recall report is that 27,000 vehicles potentially affected here, 2021 through 2022, 3S and X, as well as 2020 through 2022 Model Y vehicles with heat pumps operating firmware 2021.44 through 2021.44.30.6. The recall describes the issues as saying that in vehicles with the heat pump for those specific firmware versions, which they say were first released on December 10th, the electronic expansion valve for the heat pump may experience controller communication interruptions, and then the valve would fail to close. As with all recalls, Tesla walked through the chronology of the issue and their solutions. Again, they determined that the first cause of this was firmware 2021.44 on December 10th, and then they say that on January 26th, they had confirmed the root cause and completed the compliance assessment, at which point the recall determination was made. Then they say on February 7th, the affected vehicle population was expanded out of an abundance of caution to incorporate vehicles currently operating that firmware that have yet to update. So this should mean that the heat pump stuff is resolved. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see if owners are still having issues. Some may have other issues. Obviously, this doesn't mean that no heat pump is ever going to have any issue again. There may still be other complaints, but it doesn't necessarily mean that this issue is not resolved. So we'll just have to keep an eye on it. And please, if you do have any updates on this, pass them along. Next up, a couple of Tesla crashes have resurfaced in terms of coverage. The first is autopilot related. This happened back in August of 2020, but resurfacing again because some of the footage has now been released. So kind of just bringing this up because it has gotten a lot of coverage. Anyway, one of the details of this crash was that the driver admitted that they had been watching a movie on their phone when they had crashed. So obviously, don't do stuff like that. It's not safe. Further comment though, this is the kind of stuff that shapes public perception and regulatory perception of how autopilot is dangerous. Even if the data shows that it is better, stuff like this is a huge setback. When you've got someone driving a Tesla, not paying attention, watching a movie on their phone, and hitting a state trooper, it's kind of easy to understand why that would be upsetting to regulators. Thankfully, again, this was back in 2020, but I believe everyone was okay in that accident. Unfortunately, that was not the case in the other accident that has resurfaced. This was from a fatal accident with a young driver back in 2018. Not autopilot related, the driver was going 116 miles per hour. Tesla shortly thereafter created a software speed limiting function that can be enabled with a pin. But prior to this accident, this person had had a speed limiter installed in the vehicle, and at the request of the individual in the accident, the service center had actually then removed this speed limiter, even though I believe it was the parent's vehicle. Anyway, this is resurfacing because there is now a lawsuit. The lawsuit has disclosed some email exchanges between Elon Musk and this parent. Musk shared some of his own personal experience with loss. We don't really need to get into any of those details, I don't think. Those are intended to be personal, but I did want to at least explain the context because, again, a lot of headlines around this. All right, next up, we've got a note from analyst Trip Chowdhury of Global Equities Research. They've maintained their $1,500 Tesla price target, and their report here says that shipping momentum is very solid so far in Q1. So apparently this note comes after Chowdhury's latest round of factory checks done on February 8th, in which Chowdhury highlighted sequential increases in Model S Plaid. They shared a picture that had four plaids on it. They said previously they were seeing 2 to 3 plaids per truck. Look, I'm not putting any weight in this. I mean, I think as far as I can tell, they're just looking at one day of data here and comparing it to one day of data in Q4. And I don't know how many trucks they're looking at, but I really don't see any way that this is enough data to be extrapolated from. So really just covering this to point out that I don't think it has much merit. Next, we've got a bit of an update on the status of the Model X. Obviously, the ramp there has been quite slow. Elon lamenting that on Twitter, saying, quote, "We dropped the ball badly regarding new Model X production ramp and still haven't fully recovered. It was idiotic to stop production of old X in December 2020 when there was still plenty of demand," end quote. He then added that the Model X is an extremely difficult car to build, the most complex passenger car ever, and that currently the limiting factor is interior trim. So yeah, obviously this looks pretty bad in hindsight. The Model S was delayed, Model X even further delayed. Still only 13,000 combined production last quarter, only about half of what Tesla eventually intends to get to. I do think if the ramp had gone as what it seemed like Tesla had hoped for, then the decision to stop X production at that time would have been fine. But yeah, at this point, I mean, it's been really over a year now since they've had true volume production on the X. The other update from Elon's Twitter was him thanking the National Academy of Engineering for electing him to be a part of their membership. This is a nonprofit that describes their mission as being, quote, "to advance the welfare and prosperity of the nation by providing independent advice on matters involving engineering and technology, and by promoting a vibrant engineering profession and public appreciation of engineering," end quote. The group has more than 2,000 members, all of which are peer elected, so good to see Elon added to that group. All right, last few things here. First up, it looks like Franz von Holzhausen, Tesla's chief designer, has gone on a new podcast, Spike's Car Radio. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to listen yet, but Tesla Owners Online reporting on this, saying that Franz confirmed the Roadster is being actively worked on and tremendously improved since the original prototype. Quote, "It will be an amazing, exciting flying machine with the SpaceX package," end quote. Not too often these days we get to hear much about the Roadster, so nice to get a bit of an update there. Lastly then, just a little bit of a heads up here. As you can see by this enthusiastic smile, if you're watching on video, Herbert Diess is going to be doing an Ask Me Anything on Reddit. He looks quite excited for it. We'll see if that excitement is justified, but that'll be on February 14th at 12 Eastern time, I guess. So 9 a.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. UTC. I'm sure there will be plenty of Tesla questions in there, so it should be interesting to keep an eye on. If you do participate in that, just a nice reminder to stay respectful. With that, we'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, February 10th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.